rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. You know, I heard Deacon Quick say when he first got up, he said, blessed be the Lord that daily loadeth up with his benefits, I believe he said. Yes. Blessed be the Lord that daily. You know, yesterday is in the tombs. It's gone. I didn't use that up. Tomorrow is in the future, and I don't know if that's promised to me. All I got is today. And so he said that God daily loads me up with benefits. David said that. But David came back in another Psalms and asked his soul, what shall I render for all of God's benefits toward me? So he daily loads me up. And what am I going to give him back for all of his benefits towards me? I might not have a lot, but I can sing to him. And I'm going to sing, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Now, you know why I will bless the Lord today? Because last week I had some requests as I closed in the prayer. I asked God to do some things for me. I always do when we leave. And he has kept every single thing I have. And I don't take it for granted. It's not just religion to me, not just some closing words, but it's what I'm asking God to do. I need protection from the seen and unseen. I need strength and a clear mind to make it for another day. And he daily loads me up deep with his benefits. And I have to ask my soul every morning when I get up, what shall I render to the Lord for all those benefits? So I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Amen. Amen. We know my wife's sister's homegoing is on next Friday, wakes at 10, funerals at 11. And they're going to actually commit the body on Saturday. And it's going to be done at the Vineyard out in Tri-County. Now, I've been asked by a couple people, well, why aren't you doing it, Pastor, here at Turning Point? Well, she's not a member of Turning Point. Membership has privileges. Membership has privileges. You know, I've been dealing with this issue all the way back in 1975 at James Temple. And one thing I have learned, everybody don't want to come. Like, you know, picnics are more important and a lot of other things are important, especially in the month of July. where, you know, we don't render unto the Lord back for all the benefits he gives us. And what I have learned is that everybody wants to go to heaven from a church when they're dead, but everybody don't want to come to church while they're living. And so I heard Jesus say in the Bible, well, I won't say that because it won't be taken right. But anyway, this fellowship, this classroom is for the living. When Jesus says that I speak the parables for the living, for disciples, he's saying religion and tradition, they ain't enough. He's saying that you must have a relationship with me. And you must know me. And if you know God in your heart wants to be always in the presence of the Lord. Because your heart is always want to bless the Lord at all times. And his praise wants to continually be in your mouth. And the older and more mature you get in the Lord, the more you meditate on things above, not on things on the earth. Because you're thinking about your future home. The message today is somewhat talking about that. But anyway, I just want you all to support her, my wife, and the family. They need your support in this time. Loved ones are loved ones. And everybody grieves when they lose their loved ones. And we grieve along with her sisters in the loss. Keep them in your prayers. If you would turn in your Bible to the book of St. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Well, let me say this too while I'm on that. Also, there's certain things I can't do anymore. Since we do not own the property, I can only do certain things for members only. It's a part of my agreement. And if I don't keep my agreement, that would create a problem. So I'm not just being insensitive and dogmatic. I do have standards. I keep my standards. If it applies to you, it applies to me too. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to begin at verse 25. Verse 25. And this complete message is down to verse 37. But I'm going to stop at verse 29, and I'll pick up the remaining part as we get into the message, okay? It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right to this. Do. And thou shalt live." Stop there just for a moment. Well, no, let me, one more verse. "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And I want to teach today from this subject, kind of long title, but what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This teaching begins where there was a certain lawyer, not just any lawyer, that had knowledge of the legal, secular issues of Israel, or he also was an expert in the Mosaic covenant that contained the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws. So he just didn't deal with the legal, secular issues. He also understood the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws. So he asked Jesus a question to tempt him. Think about it now. This is a lawyer asking this question. So he asked the question to tempt, or you could say he was trying to allure or entice Jesus to give an answer that contradict the Mosaic covenant and what it was teaching. And the lawyer asked, what did he have to do to inherit eternal life? He didn't say, what do I have to do to inherit everlasting life? He said, to inherit eternal life. Now, the thing about this question, and him being a lawyer, you need to realize he understood that when Adam was created, Adam had everlasting life with the access to eating from a tree of life. And as long as he had access to that tree, he had everlasting life. He was to never die. But this question, the lawyer who would have known that, didn't ask about everlasting life. He asked about, which deals with time that is endless, that never ends. He's asking about eternal life. And we know that it's something different by the answer that he gives. Love the Lord with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responding back said, you rightly answered. You answered correctly about eternal life, not everlasting life. So then, everlasting life is an ending existence that all who are in Christ will live. And it's promised to you that you will have everlasting life to live in the presence of God forever. But what does it mean to inherit eternal life? Eternal life is God's own life. God is saying that if you want my life in you, which is different than living forever, the unbeliever is going to live forever, everlasting. But eternal life, he's asking, what do I need to do to inherit God, you and me? And God said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor like you love yourself. It means that to inherit eternal life, you become a beneficiary of eternal life that passes on to you at the death of Jesus Christ. You are receiving an inheritance. An inheritance is in a will, and it does not pass on until the testator has died. So this lawyer is trying to understand how do I inherit this life of God in me? Which he knew then that he did not have that. Even though I am a part of the Jewish family, I've got a promise in the Mosaic covenant. We have 613 laws that tells us how to govern ourselves and 10 commandments, and we've been given land, and God has promised to be our God, and he's instructed us how to go about our daily living, but I do not have eternal life because I do not have God living in me. So then, the lawyer knew Jesus claimed that when he died, his disciples would inherit eternal life. So he knew that what he was asking for in a different way than Nicodemus, he was asking for an inheritance coming to him, but he knew that he was not born again. That's what we have in the church today. The churchgoers, the traditionalists, the people who know their family, patriarchs and matriarchs, are born again and have relationships, they're trying to get a part of the inheritance without having eternal life. I'm trying to get a part of everlasting life without having eternal life. Eternal life requires God to be in you for you to be granted everlasting life. God's not putting the church back the way that Adam gave it away the first time. I gave you everlasting life in the beginning without me living in you. Without you having eternal life, you had everlasting life. So this lawyer is very astute in the Mosaic law. He knew he taught it. He defended it. He prosecuted it, and he knew the disciples had something that he did not have. So the question he had was, what must I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? So he knew that he did not have it coming because he's not born again. So the question today to you, are you born again? And I'm not asking, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or are you religious or attend church? The question is, did you know Jesus left a will? And it's the new covenant. And are you in the will? And do you have a part of the inheritance of eternal life? Jesus, or John rather, said in John 10 and 10, the thief, he's talking about the devil, he comes like he did with Adam. He comes not but to steal your inheritance, to kill you, to keep you from getting the inheritance, and to destroy you. But Jesus came that you might have life and that it would be more abundantly. Meaning, I come to give you life so you can live more richly than the world. I come to give you life, but I want to give you life in you. The devil does not want you to have eternal life, to have Christ's life in you. He wants you to just seek after everlasting life. He approached the church the same way with a different method, like he approached Adam in the beginning. Be like God, know good and evil, but keep eating from the tree. The world is telling you today, keep doing what you're doing. You can have everlasting life without having eternal life. That's why we believe every win in doctrine. We've walked so far away from serving the true and living God for religion, tradition, and just habits. And what we knew when we was 8 years old, when I got baptized, and we're living off of something that happened 65 years ago, and can't get a revelation on what God is doing today. Everything we discuss is what God used to do. Rather than what he's doing today. And you can't know what's going on today if there's not life in you. You won't see God as God. You won't know him as Father, because that can only occur with you having eternal life. So Jesus turns to this lawyer and says, what's written in the law? And how do you read it, lawyer? How do you read it? You know, we're going through that in the world today on how certain documents that are supposed to be established, guidelines for us to live by, we're twisting them and turning them to make it fit so we can get the results that we want rather than the truth that is trying to reveal. And so therefore, Jesus asked him, you a lawyer, what does it say? And how do you interpret it? And Jesus says to this lawyer, as he reads it, he is to understand it. And understand it as it pertains to eternal life. And so he's asking him, and he's asking you today, are you included in this inheritance? Not because you want to be, but because Jesus has assured you, because of the life in you, that you are having eternal life. Have you read the will? And look at how often we come to learn about Jesus and we have no means of following with scripture through the word, through a tablet, through a phone. You can get the scripture any and everywhere now to where you can follow to find out, am I in this will? Or do I just wait until I die and hope that I have an inheritance coming? Do you know how many disappointed people in the world that families break up because of inheritance? Because they thought they belonged and were not included. And they found out that somebody else got more and they got very little. And it's because they didn't take the time to read the will to find out if they're included. And what they have done is what's been handed down through Aunt Sue and Uncle Bubba and so forth, that have told them that you have been left this, to find out when it was all said and done, they have been taken out of the will. And we today come into the body of Christ, comes into worship services and Sunday school classes and Bible studies and say we're part of an organization and never really understand what the organization believes, but have concluded in our minds and makes us believe that we are part of an inheritance. It's like me talking about having a funeral here. And it didn't happen this week. It's happened in the past, though. But it's just a good time to bring it up. Well, why can't I have it there? And why can't you do it? You're a minister, as if that's my calling, to do funerals. They went and asked Jesus about doing a funeral, and Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. That's what he said. That ain't what I said. That's what he said. And so Jesus looks at the world and the church from two different angles. One's got eternal life and everlasting life, and the other one has everlasting, but he calls it death, which means it never ends. And so for the body of Christ to not read the will and assume that what they have put together in beliefs of thinking that they have all rights to the inheritance, it's time for the body of Christ to go back and read the fine print and see if they are included, as this lawyer was. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? John wrote also in John 17:3, and this is life eternal. This is what eternal life is. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So this is what eternal life is. That you know God and his son, Jesus Christ. That's life eternal. So the lawyer understood and realized a relationship with God in his heart was the start, and the love of his neighbor was the key to this inheritance. He understood that he understood that it was not about the written law that was on tablets of stone, but it was what had become written in his heart, because he had received Christ's nature, eternal life on the inside. And he knew that that was just the beginning. To love God with all your heart requires spending personal time with him from the heart, not just from your head. He knew that it had to go beyond words and deeds and just attending a church service. And those things might keep you as a keep membership or association with the church to listen just to sermons, but it does not give you an inheritance right in Christ's will. And it may give you a sense of belonging, gaining knowledge and understanding, but it does not give you eternal life. But Jesus tells this lawyer in verse 28 that thou answered right. This do, and you shall live. So the lawyer had answered correctly, that your spiritual heart has to be a part of this love relationship with God. And you have to make up your mind. You have to renew your mind. You have to strengthen your will. And you have to set your affections on God, the Father, and on things that are above. And this can only occur if you have this born again experience, and then to begin to renew your mind. You will never live eternally without keeping these two commandments in your heart, not in your head, because he's saying a very important part about this eternal life. Once you receive eternal life, you will love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul and might. And because you have his life, and you no longer live, but he lives in you. He's taking your place. You no longer live. You've been crucified with me and no longer live. I live in you. You will now love your neighbor like you love yourself. You won't pick and choose the stranger. You wouldn't pick and choose people that look like you. You would not be a believer, thinking that there's one ethnic group and only one that God responds to. You wouldn't think that whether you were North, South, Asian, European, South American, you would come to know because it's Christ in you. It's not you, it's Christ in you who has created the whole world. Everybody in the world belongs to me. And because Christ is in you, you will come to know that God is a spirit. He doesn't have a color. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in the spirit. And if we are sorting through our relationship based upon external things, we're very carnal minded. Christ is not leading, and he may not be in you. Because he doesn't think like the world. He thinks like heaven. He says we're a number from who knows where the Alden came from. He said that we can't even number them. It's so many. Now, you know they all didn't come in these last 6,000 years here on earth. You know why? Because he said most of them aren't going to heaven. So this number that cannot be numbered, we don't know what God is doing up there. We have no idea. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered your heart what's going on up here. And so we make God so small that we think that because we want to make the scripture read the way we do so we can continue to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, we think we're part of the inheritance. But that's not what God says. Love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor like you love yourself. Don't give your neighbor the leftovers you don't want. You don't want them. Why would you give them something you don't want? That's not loving them like you love yourself. The problem is the life that we have in us don't believe. We don't really believe God will do what he says he'll do. So that's why we give what we don't want away, rather what we want. Because I'm not too sure, God, you're going to replace what I'm giving away. So I'll give what I don't want away. And I say, God, now I want you to bless me for giving, bless me for giving away what I don't want. And God says, I will, with the same measure. I'm going to hear something I don't want either. You can have that. We don't believe God. And this is why this lawyer, Think about it, a lawyer. I study this law. I have to tell the whole nation of Israel what God means. But in my whole study, I run across a problem of not understanding how do I inherit something that you're offering to your disciples that I do not see in the law. So that tells me the Mosaic law did not, and it does not, offer eternal life. It does not offer it. So this lawyer is saying, I did my research and put all my books out and went back to my professors and then asked other lawyers, where in the scripture is what this man Jesus teaching talking about eternal life? And after they did their little counsel, he comes to the conclusion that it's not in there. So he comes to Jesus to ask, how do I inherit eternal life? So Jesus gives him this story about a good Samaritan. And let's read that, starting at verse 30. And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of all his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. And he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 think thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, the man wanted to know. He didn't want to know how to be a neighbor. He wanted to know, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus had asked him a question. What does the law say? But the question, don't get distracted on the question. It's not about how do I become a neighbor. It's how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus used the parable to teach. Since you said, love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, and you said rightly, you said it with your lips. You said it rightly. You said what it really takes. You have to be like me. Love the Lord with all your heart. This is Jesus talking about his Father. You have to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this lawyer had a couple things in his way that he knew the law said. One came out of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. Of the law, it says, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. He also says in that same Leviticus chapter, but the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were once a stranger in the land of Egypt. So God has said, don't forget where you didn't came from. While you're trying to prevent everybody else from participating, don't forget where God has elevated you from. So to love the Lord with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is why Jesus said, you have said rightly, now go do it. You want eternal life, go do it. And you shall live. So then, in this story of the man bringing the, finding the man on the road, first there was a preacher coming from preaching one Sunday morning. And he was on his way home. And he saw this man laying on the road half dead. And because the law said that he could not touch a dead man and it would make him unclean, he decided to bypass him and walk around him and keep on going. Then along came a deacon who had came from the same service. And he saw him laying there, and he walked around him too. And he went on home. Now there's two people called of God to do a service, avoiding the ministry to do the ministry. What they're teaching, they're avoiding. And they're avoiding because of some ritual, that inconvenience of going and doing a ceremonial cleaning, that I cannot touch a dead person. Wrapped up in religion and ceremonies and tradition, but not have eternal life. The church has got to a place that it doesn't know what right is from wrong. It wants what it wants, not what God said for it to have. And it's passing up the ministry to do the ministry. You know, I had a TV on this morning, I was dressing. And different ministries, when they get through doing their teachings, then you get an advertisement about investing in insurance and leaving your money to the organization and investing in gold. And it ain't nothing but the money changers. Just same method, just a different method. Same method, just a different method. So you can know what the law says, but not have eternal life because it's not in the inside. And this is where this lawyer recognized that I know what it says, but I know I don't have an inherited what you're giving to the disciples. So this Samaritan comes along that has no dealing with Jews because of culture differences. We got a culture difference. I say I serve the same God you do, but because our cultures are different, you don't deal with me. But this Samaritan that had no title, had no role in the church, stopped because he demonstrated that he had eternal life on the inside. by his actions. He showed mercy. In spite of what the culture said, he showed mercy. Took this man to an inn, paid some money down, they were nursing back to health, and told the innkeeper that I'll be back. And whatever else you did that I didn't give you enough money for, when I come back, I'll pay that too. To show you how God is so in that, and the man had life, this is why God is just a great administrator. How did this innkeeper know the man's coming back to pay? But he accepted the man's terms, took the money, and nursed the man back to health. That's why it is important that we all have eternal life in us. Because your spirit will bear witness in situations like that to get the outcome that God wants to take place. But if I stay wrapped up in religion and tradition and trying to make everything black and white, I'll never get the life that God really wants me to have. I'm not saying I won't get blessed now and then, but what God really wants to give me, I can't get. I'm not sensitive enough to see the work of the Lord in order to accomplish what he wants to be done. So this man took care of this man dying on the road. So Jesus returns and asks this lawyer this question. Which now of these three do you think was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Was it the preacher? Was it the deacon? Or was it the Samaritan? Which of these acted like a neighbor? And the man responded back, I guess the one that showed the mercy, that gave this man what he did not deserve. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. So don't forget the question. It's not about the neighbor. The question is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question today. It's not by going through some rituals, not by having some position. Not by being in a certain culture. It's about having Christ in you, the hope of glory that he wants to offer to each and every one of us. And until we have that living hope on the inside, we won't make him important. But that also means that we may not have eternal life on the inside. So, Father, once again, we're grateful and thankful that you offered to us one day eternal life. You told us to let it take the place of religion, tradition, barbershop gospel and reunion gospels, street corner gospel. And you helped us to seek out and read the will to see if our name was in the will and if we had an inheritance of eternal life offered unto us. And God, if we're not sure, these uplifted hands today are hands of surrender. It says, I want to know and I want to be assured that I have eternal life on the inside, that I can one day have everlasting life with you in heaven. Help me, God, in my struggles, in my weakness, lack of willpower, and understanding in my mind, you help me. You've helped others so you can help me too. So these upstretched hands surrender all to you. Then, God, we ask you to request again for the day's blessings and benefits. Oh, God, we're not ashamed to come to you and ask again, because we can't do it on our own. You're the only source that we have, and you've offered it. So we're asking today, bless my wife's family, oh God, and comfort them in this particular time of need. Oh God, comfort those hearts. Let it be a stirring in the heart too, to make sure, oh God, that their calling and election is sure. We ask you, God, to these that are here, their family, their loved ones, that they have concerned about. Oh, God, give them the strength. Oh, God, to approach them, to make sure that they are in the will and that they have eternal life. We ask you also to touch these bodies. Sister Molly, oh, God. Starving, oh God, for affection and company. Oh God, comfort her today. Brother Joe and Brother Collins, in their absence, touch those bodies. Mother Copeland, Mother Vogus, Sister Barron, Sister Angie today. Touch those lives today. And oh God, don't forget my wife. Continue to bless Sister Joyce today. Touch Tamika, oh God. God, you can strengthen those muscles. Nothing's too hard for you. You're able to do it, God. My petition is for her today. Do a work, oh God, that no other power can do. Get some activities, oh God. And those blood vessels and those veins stimulate from the brain, oh God, like you fearfully and wonderfully made her. And get the glory out of it today. And oh God, those that others touch, Sister Rhonda, Sister Tina today. Oh God, you're able to do it. Brother Scott, Lord. Deacon Ward, Lord. You're able, God. Sister Carol, Lord. And don't forget Sister Riley, Lord, in her recovery. You're able today. You've showed yourself mighty in so many, many ways. You've made this church, oh God, nothing but a miracle land. And you've done it in the past, so you can do it one more time. So we ask you, oh God, to bless us. Now, Lord, we ask that you dismiss them once again from another service, but not from you. Protect us as we go home into our destination, and protect us from the seen and unseen. Allow us once again to arrive at the appointed time. And we ask it by faith, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.